hands off the Kinkery, Kinkery, Kinkery. We need an echo effect. Carol the cat.
Meow. Can you do that?
Like
you're gonna hear that over right now.
After the
Kinkery.
Hello. Tensley.
Hello.
I'm Matt Stearns, and this is a special guest, Carrie Marks from Charlie Comic Con.
Our 30th episode.
We're still in business.
We're 30
something.
This
is crazy. Oh, it's free. All right.
Before we allow you to get comfortable for even just 1 minute, we're going to go right into the rapid fire response round.
Well, I promise you, there's nothing comfortable.
We're going to ask you a series of questions. Please answer with a single word or phrase. The emphasis is rapid, so don't overthink anything. You ready? And here we go. Iron Man or Captain America?
Iron Man.
Star Wars, Star Trek, or Firefly?
Star Wars.
What superpower would you like to have?
Invincibility.
Do you have a bunker for your banana?
I plead the fifth.
What is your primary fandom?
I can't Star answer Wars. That. That's not right. That's not a valid question.
Last song you listened to?
It was something by the Eagles on a crappy radio station.
Would you rather be Batman?
Than what?
Would you rather be Batman?
No.
Wonder Woman or Batgirl?
Ooh, Batgirl.
When you need a good laugh, what do you do?
Lately, look at this haircut.
Pancakes or waffles?
Pancakes.
All right. There you go. If you were trapped on a desert island with a tablet with a solar recharger, what would be your number one book that you would read over and over again? You're trapped on an island.
Probably the last Harry Potter book, Deathly Hallows. I just like to slur all over that because I'm...
Musical album.
Ooh, that would be Rush, Hold Your Fire.
Movie.
Breakfast Club.
And game that you can play on your solar chart. Tablet.
Oh, it has to be on a tablet?
Yeah.
Shanghai.
Okay. All right, now you have
survived. You did good.
She's like, I don't know.
You didn't have to, like, pass on any of those.
No,
I know.
I literally get scared
when you said Captain America or Iron Man, because I'm automatically an Iron Man, except for that scene in the new movie where Captain America rips that log and, like, my toes curled. And just, I had a moment where I didn't know if you meant, like, in general or...
Yeah,
the actors or
just actually. And as far as would you rather be what Batman? You know, there's those T-shirts. It's like, be yourself. Unless you can be Batman, then you should always be Batman.
Okay. No, I'm a Superman girl.
Okay,
that's a big problem between my husband and myself because he thinks he's Batman. So it's a tough household.
Oh, I don't like either. I'm Iron Man. So.
Well, there you go.
And men with beards.
Oh, she had to throw that in there.
There's something else we could talk about. Carol,
wait,
you
a minute. Don't you want to ask
who are you?
How are you here?
I just sneak in here. What happened? No. Security!
Carrie, please introduce yourself.
We're talking to you, Carrie. I'm sorry.
Please introduce yourself and explain what you're here to talk about.
My name is Carrie Marks, and I'm here to talk about Charlotte Comic-Con.
Comic-Con!
Which will be this Sunday.
Sunday!
There's a lot going on this weekend.
This Sunday would actually be August the
9th. Yep.
And it's from 10 until 6.
10 a.m. till 6 p.m. We're extending it by 2 hours.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about some of the fabulous things that you do for Charlotte Comic-Con and some of the things that people can expect to see go on there on that day.
The things that I do, let's not go there.
Okay.
I'm just kidding. No, I do a bunch of stuff. So does everybody that works for Charlotte Comic-Con because we're a family. We're all about the family-friendly show and making everybody have a good time.
Fuck that. I'm sorry.
No, really, we're going to have a good time. We have a comic room. We have a toy room that we started last year, and it's growing and getting bigger and stronger. Mm-hmm. We have now bumped what was our teeny tiny cosplay room to a 3,000 square foot ballroom that will be open 12 to 6 that day. So the comics and toys are 10 to 6, cosplay room is 12 to 6, and our old cosplay room is now a panel room, and we have 3 panels scheduled to go throughout the day as well.
That's awesome.
We have a live trivia competition.
And you have tons of artists, too.
A huge artist alley, a couple of new artists that are coming with us. We have, Matt Starnes is going to be there, and that's...
That was horrible. behind the scenes, subtle. You couldn't see. It was subtle. Horrible. Joey's like...
He's just sitting there pointing at himself.
Yeah.
By the way, I mentioned the guy I'm marrying.
No pressure. It's his house. No kidding.
Sketch Charlotte's doing a panel, right? Sketch Charlotte's doing
a panel? Yes, Sketch Charlotte's doing a panel. We have the times in here. Brought it. 10:45, Dan Johnson and Michael Urie are doing 75 years of the Scarlet Speedster. They're doing a program about the Flash.
Oh.
And I don't know if you were around, you know, last summer they did a panel for Batman's anniversary, and that was awesome. Just the whole
Star
Trek
Flash
there.
Costume.
12:15, we have Horrors from Comic to Screen. Dan's also organized that with, we have cast members from The Walking Dead and Vampire Diaries, and they're going to have a bunch to talk about. And then 1:30, 10 years of Sketch Charlotte, 10-year anniversary.
Wow.
And they've got a lot to talk about. Yeah. And they want to get a lot of people on board, and so much talent going on in that group right there.
Did you see Acker from The Vampire Diaries?
Yeah, Kent Wagner. He's been on Vampire Diaries for a while, and we have a bunch of the Walkers that have been on the show, and... Those guys are a lot of fun. We had a few of them in the past, but we have four coming this time. One of them, I forget how many times he told me he's been killed. Chris Harrelson, he's been killed so many times to the point where, like, you could look at the picture of which Walker was in, know exactly what episode. They have what they call their hero kills.
Right.
And he's been most of them.
Wow.
He's got, all of them have great experience with the gooey and the nasty and the giant contact lenses and 3 hours in the makeup chair and...
Well, I think The Talking Dead helps highlight that. Like, they show the walkers that die in that episode. I'm like, I always like that because it's like it's slow-mo, so you can see it a little bit better, and you're like, oh my gosh, that really is gross.
Yeah, I don't think it helps you appreciate that the show is not just 5 or 6 big-name stars. That there's these other people that are spending hours and hours in the Georgia heat that without them standing there dressed like that, you wouldn't have the show. So, I mean, it's, you know, props to them and the makeup and costume designers, so... takes a lot of patience to... I don't even like South Carolina heat, and I mean, we're in Charlotte now, so I don't... I'm from New York. This heat sucks. No, sorry.
I'm from Colorado.
Humidity is weird.
I mean, not that we don't love it here, but it's fall already.
Like walking through a sauna.
So is the Charlotte Comic Con at the Embassy Suites in Concord?
No.
No
chance? Okay.
They serve bacon at the Embassy Suites in Concord.
We're at the Crown Plaza Executive Park Hotel. I always
Off Tybola.
Yes, it used to be a Marriott. You can see it used to be that other brand name, and you can see it directly from the exit.
Cool.
So, and we're basically going to be in every room they have on the ground floor of the hotel.
It's a nice hotel.
And we're getting a stage this time, which I'm so excited about because my primary focus is in the cosplay room. So we'll have our judging going on there and a proper stage to show everybody off on, and the riddle me this geek trivia challenge for prizes.
A first aid station for costume repair.
Yes, we're calling it Bardcore Cosplay Repair, because Shakespeare Carolina is sponsoring that.
Oh.
And they're going to have some players out there at the ready with anything you might possibly need.
Broke a wing? Go see Carrie's group. Carrie will save the day.
We do have something, if I can plug it in there real
quick. Absolutely.
A Gilmore Girls panel?
Maybe.
Tiffany,
yes.
Your dreams come true. No.
Yes!
Well, you're into talent shows and things, so you might appreciate this. This is the first time we're ever having an event on Saturday. Everyone's always saying, Charlotte Comic Con, why is it always just a Sunday? Why should I come get a hotel room? What's there to do on Saturday night? We've got something for people to do Saturday night. Lucky Lou's Tavern on Park Road, which is only 2 miles from the hotel, is hosting at 9 o'clock a Charlotte Comic Con cosplay karaoke party.
Oh, nice!
With a costume contest and karaoke contest, and they've got all sorts of games and things, and probably one of the best burgers we've ever had in Charlotte. And that was for 21 and over. Sorry, kids, but this is going to be the adult night, and I do believe all the Walking Dead guys are coming to that too.
Oh, wow!
Very cool.
So we'll be partying till about 1 a.m. and then getting up and rolling right into the convention.
So, yeah, I know.
Sing all night, shop all day. It's gonna be a good time.
What do we think the odds are of someone being dressed like Lorelai from the Gilmore Girls winning the cosplay costume?
I think if you show up and do that, it's probably a guarantee. I know the judges. I'll put in a good word for you. But you have to own it.
There you go.
You have to own it.
I'm there.
Yeah, do you know why Carrie's hair is so short? Because she shaved her head for cosplay.
What?
Yeah.
Wow.
For the Mad Max movie.
For Furiosa, yeah.
That's.
So, when she says own it, You gotta well, be wearing.
Luckily, she has like longer brown hair, so it's, it works out.
No, it's so white. Can we?
This is Lorelai.
Oh, not me. No. Just how much I know about Gilmore Girls.
Those days have left me too, Carrie.
I don't think I ever watched that one.
Fair enough.
But something that one person at least at the table has watched is So You Think You Can Dance. This.
And your pen slams.
Wow.
Two pens down.
Yes. So You Think You Can Dance. We are down to our, we are down from 16 to 14. My two, Yaya and Jim, both made it through, so I'm very happy.
Oh, thank God.
Did you see Twitch, the new Magic Mike movie?
I have not seen the new Magic movie, but he is hot anyway. Yeah.
So just do yourself a favor. If you're a fan of the show, you need to go give Twitch your support.
Thank you.
Wholeheartedly.
Thank you. Screw y'all.
That second Magic Mike kind of, you'll leave in like a little bit of a cold sweat.
No. It did very well. I have
it was like T-ball. You're just like, here's the stand, kiddo. Here's
really
the
ball. Yeah.
It was fun.
No, but So You Think You Can Dance was very good this week. One of the dancers did get injured during rehearsals, so they ended up voting him through, even though he was in jeopardy. But of course, he's immediately going to be in jeopardy because there's nothing for him to be voted on for next week.
Oh boy!
So the
was
only
he
way
a street or stage?
He was stage.
Okay.
You he was stage. Like you cared. That was sweet.
No, it just shows that they're paying attention in spite of their best efforts. But I have to say again, Jim's muscle strength in his dancing was awesome again.
This dude is pure muscle, but not in that like horrible way where it's like stacked like bodybuilder. It's just like the guy's just like,
it's like he is so toned,
chiseled. It's crazy,
and he can stand straight and put one leg straight up in the air. It's just crazy. There is a street dancer. There is a stage dancer named Haley, and I wasn't a really big fan of hers, but I'm starting to become a big fan. So if she ends up winning, I wouldn't mind that. Originally, I was Gabby and Jim on the stage side.
Oh, yeah.
And now I'm Haley and Jim on the stage side. Street side, I really like Yaya, and I think I'm going to continue to like Yaya. And then
Uncle Fester.
Uncle Fester,
he's awesome.
No. Sorry. But Gabby danced with another, there's a stage dancer. A street dancer. He's one of the shorter ones.
Okay.
And but he's very, he's kind of reminds me of Fiction from last season.
Oh, I liked him.
Yeah. He's got a really big personality. And it was really cool because he and Gabby danced a Broadway style show to a Sammy Davis Jr. song. And Sammy Davis Jr.'s son, Nick Davis, was in the audience. And it was really cool to see him enjoying watching, you know, his dad's music being played and people dancing to it. So
that was the one reality show I always watched, like, religiously. And then I wasn't thrilled when they cut it down to the one night.
Yes.
A year or so ago.
Yeah.
And then this season, the format changed. I watched the first two episodes, and even the audition episodes weren't enough of anything to get me excited. And this is the first, I feel like guilty, but I canceled the season pass.
Oh.
Sorry.
No, it's okay. It's okay. If you need a little fix, again, I've been starting, my blog, Joey Writes, which you can get to from the Guardians of the Geekery website. I've had to relaunch a little bit for good reasons. I'm not dating, so I'm not on dating sites doing dating reviews anymore because I'm engaged. Yay! So,
damn me.
So now I'm doing, along with Joey Writes, Joey Cooks, Joey Tries, and Joey Watches. So you'll be, and eventually if I ever get back to reading books again, it'll be Joey Reads. But right now, we'll stick with the Watch, Cooks, and Tries. Which, you know, by the way, you can learn how to cook Boston Butt and Maple Bacon if you go to the website. So that's enough of me promoting me. But
will there ever be a Joey Masturbates, and it'll be a review of
different
sex toys?
That was a previous column.
That was actually a show I used to do back in the 90s.
Do you have a toy named Lorelai?
No, I do not.
To get to that blog. You have to pay.
That's a special paid site. And I was under a different name. But yes, I have.
Sherry Jo Masturbates.
No, not that one either. But thanks for saying my name, Tipples. So. All right, moving right along. Fire! Carol the cat eats fire. Let's talk
about
this.
Tell us about
this.
It, Carol. We saw the video. It was amazing.
I actually have a natural fear of fire, which, you know, is kind of a natural fear.
It good, good fear to have,
yes,
quite frankly.
Yes, it's a good fear to have, but in order to combat some of my fears, I went to a workshop where they taught eating fire. And I actually did. I actually ate fire. It was actually kind of fun.
I liked what you told me. What happened for hours afterwards?
I burped fuel. You use white gas, which is basically Coleman camp fuel. And I need to pick some up this weekend to practice some more. But yeah, you're actually putting the fire and the torches in your mouth. So I did tongue transfers where you put fuel on your tongue and light it, and then you light the torch from your tongue. So yeah, that residual aftertaste for a while was not quite pleasant, but it was actually quite
gas.
It was actually
it's what's
fun.
For dinner.
Yeah, it was actually quite fun. I'm going to keep with it and hopefully not burn the crap out of myself.
Joey cooks.
Carol eats fire.
Yeah, it goes right there together. All right. So speaking of bacon, Kevin Bacon.
Speaking of masturbation.
You masturbate to Kevin Bacon?
No.
You had a farted off look in your eye when you said that.
Oh, Kevin. There's 7 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Loving penises. Kevin Bacon
He shows his penis quite a bit in movies.
He does, and I think that's why they chose him. Mashable got him and did this mock PSA, and he goes on and on about why movies need more penises. And it's basically, you know,
the story. Well, they do.
Because women always have. Yeah, so it's a whole play on that, and it's very funny, and definitely check it out.
It's usually the women who are doing the full frontal, and they need just, you know. Michael Fassbender does it all the time.
Fassbender!
You can do it in any movie you
want. Don't apologize.
Oh, no, that was like
oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
That was a salute.
Salute to Fassbender.
There was
an award show 1 year. It was, I think, George Clooney was on stage. He was naming the nominees. And it was for the movie that Fassbender had gone full frontal in.
Shame.
And he turned around and made a comment about, you know, it's an actor who will never need a cane. And you can see the confusion on some of the people in the audience. Yeah. And his face turned, like, purple. So.
Awesome.
Yeah, he's quite pleasant to look at naked.
Mm-hmm. He's quite pleasant to look at in general.
He is.
There's something about
him. I loved it when they cast him as Rochester in Jane Eyre, because Rochester's supposed to be ugly. And I'm like, yeah. That was great casting. Let's just cast Michael Fassbender.
Well, you know, honestly, Rochester is like one of my least favorite characters ever. So
I love Rochester.
Really? No. Oh, I'd almost take a Heathcliff over that dude.
Oh no. Okay, there we disagree. We totally disagree on that.
What about if Henry Cavill played?
Nah,
it doesn't matter. It's the character. It's the character.
Oh, okay.
You know, no one can trump, obviously, Mr. Darcy, but you know, hey.
Oh, okay, yeah. Let's just heave a sigh for going first, Mr. Darcy.
I see. I don't even think he's a definitive Darcy. I mean, well, yeah, he is the definitive Darcy, but I actually like Matthew McFadden. I thought he was fantastic. He's very vulnerable.
Yeah, but...
He's the one with Keira Knightley, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, the little hand twitches and the catching his breath. And
oh, my God. Like, when he proposes to her the first time, and you can just see, like, he's, like, so nervous, and, like, I can't believe I just told this, like, low-born bitch that I love her, but...
That's one of the movies you're going to slap her.
And at the end, when he, like, comes walking out of, like, into the sun with his coat billowing...
You bewitched me body and soul.
And I love you.
We went on
this
a
is clearly the horny in an
Austin
kiss.
No, wait a minute. We can
I love English
Horny in Austin. Austin.
Speaking about Fantastic Four, Fantastic Four breakfast slams. What do you got for us? I have no fucking.
Segueing to the Fantastic Four, which
has to do with bacon, but not so much the fur.
Backing away from the breakfast for a little bit. Oh. Really not looking forward to this film, and it doesn't help when your cast members are out trying to pole dance and promote this film and saying things like, we haven't seen it yet. We're not going for the great ratings. We're just hoping to entertain people.
Seriously?
Yeah, seriously.
They're out pole dancing?
Yeah, that's what they call it when you promote.
Oh, yeah. See, you ate fire, then I was like pole dancing, and the next thing
I'm
to
not
go.
Pole dancing people.
Yes, she is, at the Geek Gala. Buy your tickets now, geekgala.com.
I will not be pole dancing at the Geek Gala.
There will be a pole behind her while she belly dances. Buy your tickets now at geekgala.com.
But anyway, they're also not screening this for reviewers.
Nope.
So they're not allowing any
press to come
any
out
press,
right,
which is never a good sign for a film. But Denny's has a promotional tie-in with this film. They do menu changes. They did one for The Hobbit when The Hobbit came out. They had a special Hobbit menu. Now they have the Slamtastic 4 menu.
Oh my god.
To promote the Fantastic Four. And I was actually looking at this because I was curious, and it really kind of it cracked me up because they have their
like
little
an egg?
Little balls.
Like an egg?
They have their little balls. They have the Fantastic Four cheese omelet and the Fantastic Four fruit smoothie, which, you know, no thought was put into those at all. But when they get to the character menu items, one, they just did a big fuck you to Reed Richards because Mr. Fantastic gets nothing. So, yeah, fuck you, Mr. Fantastic.
You think that could be like a sausage or something?
Well, I was thinking, you know, this fucking Fantastic Four cheese omelet. Cheese stretches. Just call it the Mr. Fantastic Four cheese omelet.
Yeah.
But anyway.
For those of you who aren't part of the video podcast that doesn't exist, stretches would be hands going apart and her making googly eyes at the mic like you're supposed to see that. Going on.
Anyway. Dr. Doom gets a molten lava cake. I don't know why. I think someone thought it was Mount Doom, but it's Dr. Doom. The Human Torch gets a skillet with jalapenos and sausage because he's hot and he's got a sausage. But
nice.
The Invisible Woman gets basically the Grand Slam breakfast. I was thinking they could have done the smoothie for her, you know, weight loss thing. But anyway, she gets the Grand Slam breakfast, only they throw fruit on the pancakes because you want to femme something up, you just throw fruit at it, apparently. But what kills me... What kills me is the Thing. Ben Grimm, one of the very few and probably the most prominent Jewish comic book characters, got a bacon cheeseburger.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, my gosh.
They're known for their sensitivity, Denny.
You had one job, Denny. Yes.
It will come complete with a swastika served on a Confederate flag placemat. Thank you.
But, yeah, so go to Denny's and order the non-kosher bacon cheeseburger.
I just can't see that this really appeals to somebody. Like, somebody goes specifically to Denny's and go, I really want to try this dish that's named after the character. What do you get? You get a prize?
When they did The Hobbit, I went to Denny's so I could look at the menu because I'm a Tolkien junkie. But they actually had...
That's sad.
Well, no.
They kind of promoted the fact that you could have breakfast all day, so you could do second breakfast.
Yeah,
I was going to say,
it should be a lot. You could do second breakfast or 11Zs. And they actually put some thought into the dishes. This is just like, well, we've got this woman, so let's just dress up our Grand Slam with some bananas and strawberries and call it the Invisible Woman Slam.
Did they give you a bunker for the banana?
Oh, no.
They don't even have a bunker for the damn banana.
Damn.
But it's like not a hell of a lot of thought went into this menu, but why would they? Because they're not even screening the damn film.
So you're going to go see it when it comes out? Friday?
Probably not.
No. Oh.
I'm going to be first in line, because, you know...
What?
I'm trying to think of an actor's name that I could say really does it for me, but I don't even know who's in this. Miles Teller.
Michael B. Jordan, right?
Michael B. Jordan's. Yeah, is the Human Torch.
Yeah.
No, if I'm going to crush on a kid, it's going to be Zac Efron. It's not going to be him.
Oh, he's got a DJ movie coming out.
It does look stupid.
There's nothing appealing about Fantastic Four to me. Not as characters, like not the first set of movies, not this movie.
Well, what we are excited about coming out this weekend is Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Oh, hell yeah, we are.
Henry Cavill. Please don't suck.
I'm a little worried about Hugh Grant, you know, doing the Robert Vaughn character, but that's just me.
Wait a minute. Hugh Grant's the Robert Vaughn character? Who's Henry Cavill?
Excuse me.
Henry Cavill's the Robert Vaughn character. Because Ernie
Who is
Hammer,
the guy behind the desk?
I have to say, I've seen maybe 2 episodes of Man from U.N.C.L.E.
Okay, so it's not the Robert Vaughn character.
Yeah,
it's the guy behind the desk is Hugh Grant.
Okay, so he's like M. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's the M character from
U.N.C.L.E.
I'm just happy to see Hugh Grant again. I love Hugh Grant. Yeah. I miss him.
Hugh Grant in Love Actually Dancing.
Yeah.
That's what I have to say about that.
I loved him in Bridget Jones' Diary. I like Bridget's Jones.
Sounds like we just love Hugh Grant.
I do. I really do.
I like the part in Notting Hill where Julia Roberts says, the only people who say Oopsie Daisy, our girl's name, Flopsy and Mopsy. Anyway, moving on. All right, so that sound you heard me doing over and over again?
Yes.
My stomach.
No, it's not.
It's exploding kittens.
Yes. Exploding Kittens has arrived.
Oh my goodness.
We have both the safe for work and not so safe for work version. Number one Kickstarter. Most backed Kickstarter project ever and the most funded games project in Kickstarter history to date. And it's ages 7 and up, players 2 to 5, 2 minutes to learn, 15 minutes to play. Unless you get the not so safe for work version, which of course we did. Which then becomes ages 30 and up, 2 to 5 players, but still 2 minutes to learn and 15 minutes to play. So we will be testing that out and getting back to you shortly. We had people over on Saturday to test it, but then Joey did what Joey always does, which is invite more people than we originally planned. And next thing we knew, we had 8 people, so, you know, 2 to 5 players didn't quite work out. Nevertheless, exploding kittens are here, so yay! We love the oatmeal. So what's this about Spider-Man being played as a dorky comic relief? Or did I just take your whole line?
That was the whole thing.
Is that a rumor or is that actual fact? Do we know if that's fact?
That's from a pretty good source. So that's I think it'll happen because they're going back to a teenager playing Spider-Man, sort of like when he started in the comic books, where he really was clumsy. And Steve Ditko really drew him, kind of clumsy. Stanley
mind that.
And Stanley kind of wrote him, you know, because he was learning how to fight. I mean, people just think he automatically can fight a supervillain. So what I like is they're not going to show an origin; they're just going to have him try to
join the group
to fight a supervillain and kind of
not do.
It's
so
not going to look
how big
elegant,
a role
so.
Is Spider-Man going to have in the film? Like, how much are they really?
It's not going to be very large, but he
because I've heard like
it wasn't
tiny,
Atlanta, so.
Just to you know, a quick introduction to. An actual part, so I'm curious how much of the film is going to involve him.
It's not going to be the soul of Civil War like the comic book series was, because it really did hinge on him.
Right.
As kind of that in-between character, because at first he sides with Iron Man, then he goes back to Cap. But this, I think, from what they're saying, he's just going to kind of come in, he'll introduce the character, you'll see that he's this new superhero on the scene, he's not very good at it. And then it's
so
just
what,
kind of play for a comedic
what
effect.
What drives the wedge between Captain America and Iron Man? Is it the creation of whatever that character was from the last Avengers movie?
No, what drives the wedge is
Thor's hammer.
Yeah.
Nice.
If I'm understanding correctly, and I haven't read Civil War, it's kind of like X-Men where the government wanted the X-Men to register.
The mutant registry.
Mutant registry. Mm-hmm. In this instance, the government wants the superheroes to actually let them know what their powers are so they could keep track of who's doing what. So, like, if you have Captain America, they need to know that he's... You know, of course, they
isn't
know Captain
isn't
America.
Isn't a SHIELD essentially a government agency?
SHIELD's no longer. SHIELD's no more. So you have these kind of...
But if you remember, at the end of Agents of SHIELD this season, that was one of the issues, is that they had two... Divisions of S.H.I.E.L.D., two factions acting as S.H.I.E.L.D., and one of them wanted the registry and all that stuff, which was something that they had done before and then done away with, and the other one is
did
like,
not, no. Captain America falls on the side of wanting the registry.
I can see that, yeah.
And or no, sorry, Iron Man. Iron Man falls on the side of wanting the registry.
Oh, really?
And yeah. Captain America falls on the side of not wanting it.
Well, look at them, too, because Captain America being more someone, it's not so much that he has superpowers, he's got money and tech, and has always dealt with the financial side of that kind of thing, and then the weapons trading, whatever. These other ones that have more strength or powers, or from someplace else, that could really hurt them. That's why they always want the privacy.
Because with
Iron Man, layman's terms.
With Iron Man, it's a suit. He can go out
to the store.
He's like Batman,
where do you get those wonderful toys? It's just,
he can go out to the store, and
he's not gonna hurt you.
Yeah. Ben Steele
with his sharp wit.
He doesn't have that anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
So with Captain America,
that
he can't turn
the
it off.
Big hole
circle.
In his chest.
Yeah. A hole in the heart.
At home.
Yes.
Spoiler alert. He has got a hole.
Carrie catches on quick.
I'm learning.
Unlike other people. Not looking at anybody in particular, Carol the cat.
So Iron Man falls on the side of wanting that. And they actually make reference to it, I think, in Ant-Man.
Yes.
When they're talking about going to the Avengers. What would you do? Well, I'd go talk to the Avengers.
And Henry Pym mentions the Accords.
Yeah, the Accords.
And I think it's...
Yeah. Yeah, that Stark can't do anything because of the Accords. And the Accords are what is basically going to drive a wedge between Captain America and...
And at the end of
Ant-Man. If you haven't seen Ant-Man, stay through the whole credits. Not just the first bit, stay the end, because it relates to what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I don't love that girl that was the...
Evangeline Lilly?
Yeah.
I don't love her in much of anything, frankly.
I don't love her in that role for some reason.
I liked her hair.
Yeah, they like that they made her look like her mother looked.
Yeah.
But beyond that...
I'm just not particular... I'm not a particular fan of the actress. I didn't like her on Lost.
Yeah,
I hated her all seven seasons on Lost. I hated that character.
I liked her
every
first
time Kate
three
came on the
seasons,
screen.
And then I was like, okay.
I was like, oh, it's Kate.
Okay. And then when they wrote her into The Hobbit, did you cringe?
I did. I didn't hate her as much as I thought, although I do think they should have killed her.
For the record, that was the hair I liked. was the Hobbit hair.
The Hobbit hair. Not,
because as somebody with longer hair... The fact that she could have those little braids all go together, that will never work on me, but I would like to think that it could.
Oh.
Yeah.
Speaking of, you know, The Hobbit,
yes.
Hannibal is on, and Richard Armitage, who played Thorin. Hey, nice segue.
Hello. Hello.
Richard Armitage, who played Thorin in The Hobbit, is playing Francis Dolarhyde, the Tooth Fairy, in the last few episodes of this last season of Hannibal. Sniff. And doing a really, really great job. There's only been two episodes so far, but I didn't even realize last episode he didn't say anything. He's like a major character, but he did not speak. He made, you know, a couple of noises, but he didn't speak at all. So this week's episode
was creepy.
It is. And man, there's a yoga sequence that's like, holy cow, Richard Armitage is really strong.
Wink.
Yeah, no, like, look it up. It's nice.
She's made a gif out of it. It's her nighttime strong. Watching masturbatory feature.
But this week, this week he actually talks, and the character of the Tooth Fairy has.
Does he say?
No. The character of the Tooth Fairy actually has a cleft palate, so he's got a slight speech impediment, and.
Huh.
Richard Armitage has a beautiful voice, and hearing his, like, baritone voice slightly slurred, it's really... he actually brings a lot of depth to the character of a serial killer.
So does Mads Mikkelsen. I mean,
he
does a fantastic Hannibal.
I have to say that the writing on the show is really, really great. And
it's, like, the most gorgeous show.
Yeah. Mm.
Oh.
Really,
and even though I've
gorgeous.
Seen this particular story, because this is straight from Red Dragon, I've seen this particular story done in two movies, Red Dragon and Manhunter. I'm still really interested to watch the rest of this season, even though I know how it's going to end. But I applaud Richard Armitage. He's doing a great job with the character.
Any chance, though, somebody else is going to pick this thing up? Because
I don't know.
I haven't heard anything like that lately.
I don't know. It's got a big budget, because it is a beautiful film, a beautiful show.
Huh.
And it sounds horrible to say that about a show about a cannibal that is constantly eating.
Cinematography is just, I mean,
breathtaking.
The Twitter fans are going nuts trying to get it.
Yeah.
Like, it's like every other post is at something with Hannibal tag and it's a different network or different cable.
Yeah. Netflix won't touch it because Amazon Prime has rights.
Right.
Amazon Prime is just get on with it.
Yeah. Something. But it would be interesting because they're actually stopping. I mean, if they stop right after the season, it stops at the end of Red Dragon. And they don't go into the whole Silence of the Lambs storyline.
Hmm.
Where he's caught and...
Well, he's caught now.
Oh, he is. Okay.
Yeah, he's actually in the institution at this point.
Oh.
If you read the book Red Dragon, Hannibal's actually in the institution at the beginning of it. So.
Oh, I see. Is that lady still alive? Scully from... Or whatever.
Yes, she is.
Gillian Anderson.
Yeah.
Yes. She is. If this is actually... I don't know where you stopped, but...
Second season.
Okay.
I just got... You know, diverted to something else.
Yeah,
how good.
Half of the third season.
Gilmore Girls.
Actually, no.
Gossip Girl. Sorry.
A little show called Seinfeld.
You were serious before.
I'm
sorry.
I'm
a throw my remote at the television. Sorry.
Half of the season kind of ends the storyline that starts in second season, and then the other half starts the Red Dragon, which is 3 years after that. So he's been incarcerated for 3 years.
I see. All right, cool. Well, I'm kind of more interested to pick it up again now.
You can probably pick it up starting with the Great Red Dragon, which is that episode where they introduce the Tooth Fairy. Mm-hmm. I have to say the first half of the third season was pretty, but I can't stand Gillian Anderson's character. I just can't.
And there's something granted, I've not stayed with her that long because I stopped in the second season, but there was something, really cool, how cold and calculated.
She is very cold, and she plays very well off Mads Mikkelsen, because he's also very cold and calculated.
It's like, there's some part of me, I know this sounds, so psycho, but, wishes I could be that, sort of modulated and, hello, Hannibal. Do you think that...
Well, you're
instead,
just...
I'm excitable. I'm did somebody say Rory from Gilmore Girls? What?
It's more fun to be a human cartoon. It really is.
So true.
I can't sit.
So, what's this about Casper Crump and Falk Henschel? I don't know who these people are.
What's that?
It's a Vandal Savage.
Just some casting news for Hawkman and Vandal Savage on Legends of Tomorrow on the CW.
Wait, Legends of Tomorrow, is that a new show?
Yep. New show, and it basically takes a bunch of characters from Flash and
Arrow,
and throws them into this time travel epic.
Okay.
So
Sliders.
They're not going back to Robin Hood time, are they?
So. No, I don't think so.
Come on, you got Hawkman. Oh no.
But it'd be Hawkman, Hawkgirl, Captain Cold for some reason, Heatwave, Firestorm, the Nuclear Man, or at least half of him. I don't know how that would work.
Well, they're just
Black Canary, and
they're totally dragging the bottom of the Black Canary. Black Canary ends up marrying Hawkman, doesn't she? Is that
spoiler alert?
Oh my gosh!
In the comics, come on, didn't they get married ages ago?
I don't know.
Is Hawkman not?
I'm not as old as you. I wasn't around reading it back then.
Please,
that's Falcon.
2 years.
Oh, okay.
Three. Will you tell me throw in anything geek related?
Yeah,
since you brought up CW and all their series. Yeah. I've asked other people this question, so flipping the interview here.
Please.
Your opinions on why it is that DC historically has always done so well on television and sucks ass on the big screen, whereas Marvel seems to own Hollywood.
Because they take themselves too seriously.
Okay, good answer.
Because they're always trying to be that epic movie that is never going to happen. They want to win the Oscar. I think Matt said it best last week, or was that you?
I did. They want to win
Carol. See, I did the whole schlep buggy thing where I assumed that the guy said the smart thing. But no, it was Carol the cat.
Because their TV series are always great. They're gorgeous.
Yeah, but every Superman is trying to get to win the Oscar. They want to go back to getting that Oscar.
Yeah. They haven't done a good Superman since Superman 2, so.
Yeah. They still haven't quite.
And they keep going back to origin stories, and they keep trying to bring in these big names and break big effects with a bad
story. Well, they do that with Spider-Man. They've done that. They're doing it Fantastic Four, and people don't blink twice at it. Goes, oh, it's a Marvel. Let's rush out and see it.
No.
But if
they
do that,
that's
you
not
know,
true.
I mean,
nobody's rushing out to Fantastic Four. We're rushing out to Denny's.
That's not technically Marvel. That is Fox.
Okay, yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not even a comic person, and I will say, I'm done with the Spider-Man origin story and the Superman, Spider-Man, all those. Even for somebody who doesn't know much about it, I'm okay, I get it.
And Marvel hears that, and now anything they really own, besides X-Men and all this other stuff,
right.
I mean, they're doing away with the origin story. So it's just here's the character.
Once you establish it once, everyone knows it. Just go forward. You don't got
to. Yeah, you can do a couple flashbacks, maybe a couple, or allude to something. When my parents were killed, that sucks. So that's why. And then
that's why I'm the Batman.
DC gets a flop. And they go, okay, we'll bring in new writers and new director. Let's try it again.
Yeah.
Rather than just.
I mean, why does Marvel succeed? Because Marvel's bringing us
a lot of times too. But I think Marvel's strength is as soon as they got Nick Fury in there as the binding agent. And had everything connected. They're really smart because it's exactly how their comic books are.
They also finally found the right actor for the Hulk. And God bless Andy Serkis and everything that he's brought to that. Because finally the Hulk looks believable compared to what the other movies did. This Hulk makes sense and it works.
Yeah.
I think it's very cool.
But the other thing too is that they're picking up storylines that the average moviegoer may not have known if they weren't a comic freak, like Guardians of the Galaxy, like Ant-Man, like some of these others, where they're picking up stuff, Avengers, where you're bringing in, the Falcon and different characters that maybe we didn't know about. And so therefore it's a little more interesting to us and exciting. It's not a regurgitation over and over again. It's a discovery. And I think that's where the interest is. And they understand humor. And they understand timing. And let's just face it, Stanley's awesome. So, yeah.
But then again, back to the television.
The
DC,
I don't know.
The DC shows seem to do really well.
I think
even going back to the original Batman. I mean,
I think they allow themselves to entertain people with their TV shows. They allow it to be a little bit looser. It's like, okay, we can let's just be fun with this
in smaller bites.
In smaller bites, yeah. But for those big screen adaptations where they're dumping millions and millions of dollars, it's like Christopher Nolan is kind of. Was great, but it was also a bane to DC because when he did Dark Knight Rises and Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Or Bane. Bane! Put deodorant on if you're going to cosplay as Bane.
Go ahead. Shuffle that one off to the side. But the first two, Batman Begins and The Dark Knight, particularly The Dark Knight.
Dark Knight was so good.
Where it got all of this critical
Even
acclaim.
If it's dark at night, put deodorant on, thanks. Going on.
They set a bar.
They set a
Those
bar.
Those three movies are just
And it was like, and suddenly
everything.
There was that Oscar nomination and Heath Ledger won the Oscar. But it was kind of like, okay, did he win it because he died or did he win it because he deserved it?
So, I don't know, but he was fantastic.
He was fantastic. And my personal opinion is that I think he would have won it even if he
I think he would have too.
Stayed alive. Because frankly, he should have been nominated for Brokeback Mountain. But...
I can't wait.
But DC kind of saw that and went, okay, we can be that. We can be that one that makes the really glorified superhero movies that the reviewers love and will win awards.
I did about a 25 minute scathing, yelling YouTube video the night we saw Man of Steel. Because I felt so personally betrayed by what they did to Superman. Like, I couldn't. It was supposed to be this quickie 3-minute thing for the blog, and I just couldn't stop. And it was just like, the more points my husband brought up, it was like, it hurt. It hurt so much. And then to hear about them making the new movie, I told him, I know how we are. I know how obsessed we are with things, and I tend to be a completionist, and something's out there. I'm like, God damn it, I have to go watch it. I'm going to go see it just because. And I am intrigued by the whole Suicide Squad thing and the crossover with that. So now I have to go see this stupid movie, but to sit and watch... him be Superman again is just going to keep reminding me of Man of Steel, and I'm going to go into the movie with a chip on my shoulder. And so far, the only thing in the commercial that looks appealing is Ben Affleck, and I can't believe I'm saying that out loud.
He
looks like the only redeeming factor of that entire movie.
Okay, Tiffany's over there going, but Henry Cavill.
No, he's beautiful.
I made a video that night too, but it was another thing.
He looks like Superman.
Oh, dude.
That man was born to be Superman. Give him a good script, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
Like, that was, give him something to work
with. I will say this. I actually saw Superman with Matt
incredible.
Back in the day, and I remember, like, obviously Henry Cavill was, a very nice piece of work of art in the movie, but it got boring as fuck. It was like, okay, I'm sick of shit just, like, being destroyed. Like, let's go.
Well, not only that.
There was so much product placement and just blowing, just knocking things down. It was like...
And then Amy Adams, I like Amy Adams.
Not a Lois Lane, even close.
There is something, like, even though she's not an older actress at all, like, she's not old, there's something about her that sort of, like, reads sort of mature or something. So I kept thinking, like, why is this old bitch trying to get with him? And that could just be me because I'm possessive,
yes,
but
yes.
I'm like,
Yeah, it is.
My problem with Man of Steel was it was half the movie was origin story that I already knew.
Yeah, it was very extended.
And not done very well at all.
It wasn't,
The Krypton thing was way too much time on that.
Yeah,
but it was fun, but it could have been a different, it could have been another movie.
The fights with Zod and Jor-El, it was like, well, I'm sorry, like if you're that strong, you could do this. Like, why was this even an issue?
Yeah,
so it was half the movie was origin story that I already knew, and I was like, do we have to do this again? And then the other half was, let's throw buildings around New York.
And I don't like that Michael, whatever his name, that
played Zod.
Yeah.
I do like Michael
Shannon. I like him in other stuff. I didn't like him in this.
I'm tainted, though, because, man, I just love Terrence Stamp.
Tainted love.
Yes.
Nobody does a better Zod than Terrence Stamp.
Smallville was better than Man of Steel.
Superman
and Smallville,
too.
Yeah, Terrence Stamp was Jor-El's voice in that, and that was fantastic.
Yep.
And Terrence Stamp just rules, though.
He does.
Did you see the YouTube thing where they colorized Man of Steel?
Yes.
So they show it, like, how it was actually filmed, the tones, to, like, how it was, like, when Christopher Reeve played the character. and they showed it with that color saturation.
They brightened it.
It's a different movie.
Well, yeah, it's Zack Snyder, I mean, so it's all going to be muted.
Yeah, and you can tell Nolan's look
more beautiful if that was possible.
Influence on there, yeah, but it's just that's weird.
Yeah. I don't know anymore with spoilers, and this is a moment where I'm going to say I don't care.
Yeah.
But the thing that killed me for that movie, with Superman killing Zod, in an instant, the method that he did. And, like, no thought beyond it. And that bothered me because the whole thing with Superman is always the conscience. That was the big difference of him and Batman.
Yeah.
Batman will kick someone's ass. Superman will, as my husband said, he's a pussy. But he's a pussy because he's trying to find the good in someone and find the way to not be violent about it. With no thought and no care. It was just, like, boom, dead to protect a civilian. And I'm in the theater yelling. It's like, you're Superman. I can think of 15 different powers you have right now.
That
you could have done, you could have
super banged speed,
the floor, you could have super speed, you could have gone like the laser things, you could friggin' blow on it and make something happen. You could have laser-eyed, you could have done anything.
Because Superman 2, what did Christopher Reeve's Superman do? He retreated rather than destroy Metropolis.
Yeah.
This one did not. I mean, this one destroyed everything in his path. I mean,
and then literally just took Zod and went, done, moving on. And it was like, that's not Superman. You just undid an entire
And that's why history. Batman's gunning for him in this next movie.
Yeah, I do like the fact that they're actually going to address the whole destruction of the city. And Avengers actually kind of, you know, they actually addressed this too. They hinted at it because at the end of Avengers, they just totally destroy the city.
Nothing left in New York.
So last couple years in Hollywood,
between New York and San Francisco. Those two cities have been destroyed so many times the last two summers.
It's like Tokyo.
So what, just out of curiosity, since we're talking about this, like what superheroes do kill? Because I, again, not deep into the comic world or whatever, but like I, and maybe this just, again, points to me being like a sociopath, because I want to be like Gillian Anderson. But, you know, I sort of think like this is the business of trying to save the world. Fucker's gotta die. Kind of a thing, like, and you gotta you kill to sort of protect everyone else. You know what I mean? You kill if you have to kill somebody. It's in the service of a larger group of people. And I guess I don't have a problem with it. But
the Avengers do a lot of killing. They'll shoot anything in front of them. The Avengers,
Avengers. Will.
Yeah, but those are always like aliens and shit. It's never like
no. Occasionally it'll be the humans. The X-Men will. Yeah, Hydra.
They were just the beginning of the new of Ultron, the whole first
fight.
I do like X-Men was
just human on human.
I mean, X-Men will occasionally kill people.
Batman in the comic books, I mean, forever he would not.
He wouldn't touch guns.
Except when he first debuted, and he had a gun. But
he had a gun.
and Christian Bale's Batman yells at Anne Hathaway in the middle of a fight. He kicks the gun away from her, and she gets mad at him. He has no guns.
Yeah.
Scarred still, he's still so kinda, much.
But as far as like really kind of going after bad guys deliberately to kill them, you have to go to the kind of anti-hero like Punisher.
Yeah.
Or something like Watchmen, Rorschach, where they hunt, basically. They're not waiting for the bad guys to do something.
So it's not
bad,
like the mainstream superhero, really.
Okay. No.
Punisher. Bring it on, John Bernthal. I'm excited.
Wolverine. Yeah. He would kill.
Wolverine would kill.
Right.
Tons of ninjas.
But Wolverine was like, Wolverine was the anti-hero of the X-Men.
Right.
Yeah, the anti-heroes are always the hottest ones, aren't they?
I guess that's so.
And Arrow in the TV show, he was a killer at first. He was just like, I don't have a problem killing people. And then people started ragging on him, and he's like, oh, I guess I shouldn't kill people, and he stopped.
Well, he was angry as fuck, so.
He was.
And hot, so it's okay.
If he's hot, he can kill. Oh my gosh! All
right. Yeah, but they do tend to shy away from the big ones, like Wonder Woman, Batman, Superman. They tend to shy away from having them just randomly kill people.
I'm not saying randomly, I'm not saying, I'm in a bad mood, fuck you.
I remember George Reeves, though, on that old Superman show that was black and white. I don't know if they colorized it or went to color midway through it or whatever. There was a scene where this guy, this crook, found out his identity. He drops him, like, on the top of the Himalaya Mountains and says, fuck you, basically, and flies away, and that's it. And it's not like, oh, I'll have a care package to you every 5 days. It's like, boom, solve that problem. Bye. And it's like, holy shit, Superman is a badass. And I was like, wow, that's dark.
Gee, Jimmy, he won't be causing me problems anymore.
I derailed your agenda, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, that's fine. Great. This is not an agenda. Oh, this is a
guideline thingy.
No, we were almost done with it anyway.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, I actually, speaking of super people, I actually have the pilot episode of Supergirl. at home. I haven't watched it yet, though. Okay. I've heard such terrible things about it.
Sometime when you're feeling really, really bad about something you've done, you should watch it.
Yeah.
So, epic rap battles of history.
Oh my gosh. Do you guys ever watch these things?
I don't.
They just released this one. It was Stan Lee versus Jim Henson. And it really is the actors playing these characters, doing these rap battles in character. And they're effing hysterical. And this one...
Come on, we said fuck.
Is this like Jimmy Fallon?
No. This is like a YouTube thing. It has like, I don't know, 3 billion followers or something. But
they'll throw like two dress as famous people and...
Rinal did like
Sir Isaac Newton.
Back and forth each other and talking smack.
Yeah.
Neil deGrasse came on, not really him, but his character.
Like making fun of them.
Yeah. But it's really funny. But Jim Henson versus Stan Lee, and then how it ends, I won't spoil it, but there's another person that comes in there at the end, and that's awesome. So it's five minutes well spent.
Speaking of Jim Henson, we're mourning the divorce of Kermit the Frog and Miss Piggy.
It's 40 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I mean,
this was weird though.
She was never good for him.
They did this TV Critics Awards or something. They did this as like an event. And I was like, wow, that's weird.
So I don't understand the whole concept of why they're announcing their split.
Well, the new series
is to reboot the show.
Instead of being like the old variety show style, from my understanding, it's going to be like watching
reality.
The Office.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
The whole break the fourth wall Muppets talking to you kind of like they're.
Yeah.
Speaking of celebrity splits,
yeah.
Gwen Stefani and Gavin
He's on the market again.
He's on the market again.
Dude, he loves tennis. So, yeah.
Guys and girls, he'll go either way.
Well, yeah. We can have an orgy, guys. Let's do this. So. I mean, let's wait for Gavin. Let's just do it.
That's awkward. Gives his band name a whole new meeting. Huh?
Yeah. I actually saw him in concert like a couple years ago when he was like 3 feet away from me, and I can tell you he is just as beautiful in person.
He's a very nice looking man.
She went to see him in his bush.
He was tinted.
It's a band, people.
Band name.
It's a
band.
Oh,
his name is Bush. Band name is Bush.
I know.
He should rename it though. Gavin and his bush.
Gavin and his bush.
Okay, epic mistake that I made. The first time I was going to get married many, many, many moons ago.
You were married?
Yes.
What the?
I know.
It's off.
So were you.
What? Oh, wait, never mind.
But, you know... I'm getting there. Give me 2 seconds to connect, please. The programs that you print for the wedding, you usually buy those from a Christian bookstore, and there was a Christian bookstore around the corner called The Burning Bush. And the internet was fairly new, and I was thinking, well, what name would they go under? It must be theburningbush.com. And I'm at work on my lunch break typing in theburningbush.com and unleashed about 500 porn pop-up windows on the work computer.
Oh, I remember those. Those were fun. Yeah.
Yeah.
They weren't.
But anyway, that was my story. Moving on.
This week's episode brought to you by theburningbush.com.
Yes. Turns out they went by christianbookstore.com. Who would have thunk it? But anyway, so unfortunately, we've had another tragic death.
And this one made me really sad.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge wrestling fan, but...
He was fun, though, and he did movies.
We're, of course, talking about Rowdy Piper.
I grew up on Long Island, about 10 minutes from Nassau Coliseum, so we grew up with WWF.
Oh,
and
wow.
So this hurt. This is like...
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And I got... Last year, I was working... worked a booth all weekend with Longwall Productions and Shakespeare Carolina at Mad Monster Party, and he was not far from our table.
Oh.
And got to actually... It was like a childhood dream to actually sit and just hang out with him because, you know, we both had badges and belonged at the show. We weren't like...
Yeah,
shopping. So it was kind of fun to be on that side of it for change. And then actually got him to call my sister. Because my sister's the one my older sister used to take me and her son.
Oh, my gosh.
That's who used to always take us wrestling.
Aww.
So he called and left her a voicemail. And I texted her first. I'm like, I'm going to dial you back. Don't answer the phone. So it would have to get saved. And she still had it. So when she found it today, she's like, I'm so glad I never deleted that. She had this little message from him. So
that's so cool.
I had
he's
no
just
idea.
Such a sweet, sweet
yeah,
guy.
He seemed like he's a really sweet guy. I had no idea that he had Hodgkin's lymphoma. So, yeah, it is really sad. He was only 61.
Yeah.
So, crack a beer, chew some bubblegum, kick some ass, watch They Live in honor of Rowdy Roddy.
There's a picture going around the internet today that someone took of the old WWF action figures. These have the I know you're talking about the good ones.
Yeah.
And it's a collection of all of them who've passed. And in the picture, all the toys are are in a ring, facing forward with their arms up, like "Hey!" And you see Piper's figure, and like you see him from behind, going to them, and it's like the most epic picture someone took. Yeah. But at the same time, it's heartbreaking to think when you start recognizing them, and you're like, "Oh, Macho Man's gone, and this one's gone, and that one's gone."
Yeah,
that's a tough life. It really is, and you know, and unfortunately, it's just not the same like it was. And
no,
you go to cons and you see some of these guys, and that the younger generation has no concept who they are. And you're like, that's the Walk of Fame at Dragon Con is both interesting and heartbreaking at the same time, because you go through there and you'll see somebody from Once Upon a Time who's, you know, been on the show for one season and they've got 50 people deep. And then you see somebody like Lou Ferrigno sitting over in the corner just waiting for somebody to come up and buy an autograph. And it's just, you know, and the same thing with Rowdy. You know, you see the wrestling, the Sheik has been there a couple years, and, you know, his table's always kind of empty, and I'm always like, oh,
incidentally, Lou Ferrigno is such a wonderful guy.
Yeah,
he's awesome.
He's a really nice man.
I have to tell you, if you go into Dragon Con, my biggest piece of advice is don't wait in the 3-hour lines for these celebrities, because if there's room, you can always get in the back row. They always put them in a row where they have a big, huge screen that you can watch off of, or you can always watch those panels in your room on Dragon Con TV. Go to the smaller panels of the people who are moving their way up or down the ladder of fame, because you will have such an awesome time, and you'll have a much more personal experience. You'll get to actually ask questions of these people and interact with them as the humans that they actually are. And it's a much better experience. So that's my little words of wisdom for the week, because Lord knows I don't usually have them. But
And mine would have been avoid those cons and support your local smaller cons.
See
that, bringing that shit back around.
Yeah. Well, no,
support
some of your
smaller cons. I mean, if there's a certain celebrity or someone you really want to go see, go for it. But
Dragon Con was my first con, and that's always my con. Every other con I go to, I'll promote Geek Gala, the Charlotte Geeks, or Con Carolinas, depending on what's more seasonal.
Mm-hmm.
But Dragon Con is my con to go and be a fangirl. And so that's my words of wisdom. But if speaking of fangirl, you thought we got away with it, but we didn't. America's Got Talent.
Oh, yes.
do keep an eye out tonight, which will be, I'm saying tonight because, it's Tuesday night. Oh, well, hopefully.
Hopefully, delighted to be here, made it through.
We made it through. We'll be watching that tonight after you guys go home to find out. So.
And this former is guest, Howard Stern's last season on America's Got Talent, for those interested.
Is it really?
It is.
Darn, whatever is he going to do?
Shut up.
How much longer is he doing the Sirius show? Is he still doing
that? He's under contract negotiations, but his contract is over at the end of this year. So hopefully not anytime soon, but you never know.
Oh. How old is he now? Like 60-something?
He's 61.
He's 61 as well.
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. That's the same age as
Roddy Piper. Yeah. That's what I was just thinking.
Well, only Carrie, like Sam is and stuff, so hopefully it'll be good.
Carrie, thank you so much for joining us this evening.
Thank you for having me. I dare everybody to come out Saturday night and attempt to out-sing me. You won't. But come on out. That's a challenge.
The gauntlet has been thrown down.
Let's come see me, and I dare you to find a better combination of song to character.
And then, you know, come by and see us on Sunday at Charlotte Comic Con.
Absolutely.
I know Starnes Lord and I will be there as for Carol the Cat. I'm not so sure.
I start a new job on Monday. I'm going to play it by ear.
And Tiffles. Tiffles, are you coming?
I have a friend in town, so if I can get her to go,
bring your friend. I'm planning on being there at least for a few hours.
Yes, and we may or may not be wearing our Guardians of the Geekery t-shirt. If not, at least come stop by the Geek Gala booth and check out information so you can buy your tickets at geekgala.com. No pressure, buy your tickets at geekgala.com. This was not sponsored by the Embassy Suites.
It was sponsored by geekgala.com.
Well, hey, wait, I'm not paying money.
Sponsored in spirit.
For the Gala, yes, you will.
Oh, wait, I pay for this podcast, so already done.
This is sponsored by geekgala.com.
Always.
But thank you, Carrie.
Thank you.
See you at Charlotte Comic Con.
Yay!
Goodbye, everybody.